Now, look over at your neighbor. I don't do this real often. And say, this is no time to go to sleep. No time to go to sleep. Now, I'm not trying to get into your mind. But if a vote was taken, most of you would vote and say, the pastor's going to preach on Christmas. And you would be wrong. I will mention it. I'll try to weave it in. But I want to talk to you from the first chapter of Haggai. This was woven into my spirit so forcefully. And I'm talking to you about following through. Following through. I'm talking to you about trying to get rid of this idea of always starting something. And I don't have anybody. I'm not trying to lambast anybody. But there are so many people that start something and quit it. They got a dozen projects going on and finishing none of them. I know none of y'all here. That's what this chapter is all about. But let me tell you, Almighty God Jehovah started something 2,000 years ago in a manger in Bethlehem. And He has not stopped yet. He is following through. Every promise, every prophecy, everything that was uttered about the Son of God, our Father has made sure it's come to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to read all. And I wrestle with this, and I don't want you to be disappointed and frustrated. And maybe if you, for the second service tonight, we might do Luke chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse number 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month. Have you noticed how specific the Bible is on issues? In this first day of the month came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, anyway, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Joshadak, the high priest, saying. Now listen to the message now. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. Now pause. That tells me that God is aware of our conversation. He's aware of our plans, of our structure. The people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's the sermon. Consider your ways. Amen. You have sown much and bring in little. Anybody ever been there? You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Does this reek of dissatisfaction? You go to the refrigerator and pull it back and look in there. You down, up, this, and you turn around and walk away. And 10 minutes later, go do the same thing, thinking that something is manufactured in that refrigerator. Am I right? There's just a gnawing. A dissatisfaction, and that's what he's saying. Okay, you are not filled, you clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. How many know if you do not sow a crop, you will not reap a crop? You reap what you sow. That's not negative. If you sow beans, you're going to reap beans. If you sow finances, you're going to reap finances. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. A farmer that didn't reap more than he sows would be a bad farmer. He'd go in the hole. He'd go busted. So let's get back to our text. When you brought it home, I did. Who blew on it? The Lord did. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. As a result, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. There's a cause and a consequence. Action and a reaction. Am I talking to anybody? Verse number 11, and I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine, upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of this guy, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord, that word keeps cropping up. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now notice chapter 1 and verse number 1. It's the sixth month, first day of the month, second year of Darius. Look at verse 15. In the 24th day of the sixth month, the second year of Darius the king. So it started, they got the job done. And I do believe I'm bringing the wisdom of God to you. I do believe that I'm speaking to you what the Holy Ghost wants to be spoken. And Sunday we will I'm sure we'll deal with issues of Christmas. Let me pray. Are you going to be listening to me? Beyond that, are you going to be listening to the Lord? That's the issue right there. You know, Father, now we're here on this Wednesday evening in this holiday season, Christmas, honoring Jesus. But in essence, we honor Jesus every day of our life. We walk in the realization that He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and His kingdom shall never end and never cease. We know that the government is laid upon His shoulders and He is God Almighty. Now help us to absorb those realities, bank them in our spirit and in our heart, and move on with the scriptures and revelation truth and revelation knowledge that will bless Your name and honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Following through. How many, you can raise your hand if you want to, you don't have to. How many have here tonight have started something and you just got bored with it and quit it? Crochet, embroidery. Well, most time we don't start cooking and quit. Most time we cook and we eat. 16 years prior to our text, the Jews were brought back. They came, they were released. They could come back to Jerusalem and Judea. 16 years prior to this. In that 16 years, when they got back, they had an acceleration about them. There was a zeal in their heart because they were commissioned to get to work on that temple and on the city of Jerusalem. But as time went on in those 16 years, their allegiance began to sway. Their faithfulness and their gusto begin to dwindle down. And they begin to leave off. Am I talking to anybody? They begin to leave off what should have been the importance of the day. And they left alone. Listen to me now. Because there was resentment among the people of the land that had not been deported, the neighboring countries. They protested that these people had come back and were building the temple. So the people quit building the temple. They just had it, the foundation, and it lay there. So guess what the people did with their ingenuity? They started building their own house. Now, they don't mind protest on their own house. I got to have a roof over my head, preacher. You know, I got to have, whatever. But all it took was some protest to cause them to leave the house of the Lord alone. Do you get the value of that? Everything that should have been important to them began to take second place. And what should have been second place began to take first place. Amen? Am I talking to you? So the temple was the most recognizable structure, object in Judea. Everybody knew what the temple was. And now, for several years, people could walk by and say, that's heartbreaking. I'm not a Jew, but look at those Jews. They started that temple, and now it's growing up. It's nothing appealing about it. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so, therefore, it became a laughingstock. It become a reproach because it was associated with God Jehovah. And because it was associated with God Jehovah, it was in a deplorable condition. And after a while, at some point, God, how do I express this? At some point, God said, I'm going to shake the people because that's my house. And my house is an embarrassment to me. And I'm not going to tolerate my house being in that condition. And so he stirred up Haggai, Zerubbabel, and Joshua, the high priest. He stirred them up. He said, in so many words, it's your job to get the people motivated. It's your job to bring the people back to the task that I told them to do. How many know there are times that it is the pastor's duty and responsibility and obligation to get the people motivated again? Hello? I mean, sometimes we just feel like it's a losing cause, but our job is to be watchmen on the wall. And when we see the cooling down and the apathy begin to spread, we must get the people motivated. Our job, our whole task is to keep the house of God. And it's not this building. It's to keep the house of God in this right frame of mind, in a worshipful frame of mind. I'm telling you, let me get it back here. Do you hear? So they were told what was their primary duty. And that primary duty when they got back into Judea was to get the house of God restored, to get it built back. So they returned, and now opposition arose. And when opposition grew, they dwindled away. You are going to be fiercely opposed when you start rebuilding the wall of your life. A wall, and that's what Nehemiah's job was, to take care of the wall. A wall is an object of separation. Now, it was for protection and so forth, but I am to have a wall around my... Oh, glory to God. I am to have a wall so there can be no trafficking of the devil. And if the devil does what he can to chisel that wall down so that powers and principalities can come and go in my life, and that way I'm living a plurality. One day I'm spiritual, one day I'm carnal. One day I'm in and one day I'm out. One day I'm up and one day I'm down. That's not God's plan for me to live. Am I talking to you? So the imperative thing is, when you feel, when you sense a sagging, a drooping in your spirit, a diversion in your spirit, then you need to say, whoa, wait a minute. My wall needs to be repaired. Amen? The wall that keeps wrong out. The wall that keeps right in. That needs to be repaired. Oh, my Jesus, help me, somebody. Because, listen, if we are walking with the wall of God's protection around us, we have no worry about the devil. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. So listen, God raised up Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi to stir the people up and concerning the building of the temple. And their story is the story of humanity, always ready to start something. They quit. I don't know at what point they got tired of it. Maybe they discussed among themselves. There's no use in trying. What's the use? You know, when you already don't have your heart in it, it does not take much to get you out. Listen to me. If you come and it happens too regular, it happens in every church, in every evangelical church, it happens as an ongoing thing. When you come to the point where church is a burden to you, when you come to a point where it's boring to you, church is not boring. I know you might think that I'm boring, I know, but church is not boring. You are to worship God. It's boring because you make it boring. It's boring because you walked in the building determined that you wasn't going to put a thing in it. You're here in your body, but your spirit's out at Walmart or somewhere. I'm not talking about any one person. I'm talking about that's how it happens. And after a while, you're more outside than you're inside. And when you're already drifting, it does not take much sway. I know I'm preaching the truth. It does not take much sway to get you on out. And the devil will provide that sway. He will have somebody come by and say, you know, all that church stuff, that was 40 years ago. We're in a new world now. You can zip by for a 15-minute picker-upper at your church. On the first service, you can go down to the beach. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something right now. I know a little bit of something, and I know that these churches are having two services. Most of them are not having two services because of the crowds. Because of the lack of room. They're having two services for the convenience of the non-church people. And I call them non-church people. They go. They're going to run by the church for 30 minutes on Sunday morning and feel refreshed and not feel guilty. Yeah, I went to church today. Well, of course, it didn't last but 35 minutes. But I did go to church and I dropped my money in the offering plate. And that's all the church, that's all the preacher's worrying about anyhow. I know, am I talking? This is Christmas. So it's the story of humanity. It's the story of us always starting something and never completing it. Always getting something in gear, start something only to grow weary with it in a quick way. January, whoa. The fitness people will mega dollars are going to come in January. Because everybody is going to lose weight. They watch these slim and trim idiots on television. They never show any grandmamas up there huffing and puffing. It's always some 20-year-old whatever looks like she's in Barbie's box or something. And you are dumb enough to believe that 30 days you can look like that. They get you on that treadmill and get to bouncing, the earthquake would come. January, the fitness people are going to make a killing because everybody's going to be buying diet books and medicine and pills and exercise equipment. February, the diet people is going to go busted. And the exercise equipment is going to be gathered over there for a coat rack. And there's another project that you started and didn't, y'all, hello? How many know I'm telling you the truth? That's human nature, me, you, all of us. See that? Do you understand? Always starting something, kicking something off, and never finishing. Amen. It's the story of humanity. The word tonight is about following through. I mean, count it out, weigh it out, whatever you're entertaining to start. Don't start something and just try it. There's some people whose attention span is so short that it's heartbreaking. And I'm not being cute. It's the truth. They just don't have any kind of, they get bored. It's like, well, I'll try this. And they buy something and it's bored. Then, hello, church. You know, okay, great expectations will be laid out only to be forgotten. Commitments to pray, oh, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. And that's sincere. I mean, I know human nature good enough to know when that person's alone with God, oh, Lord, January the 1st, I'm a develop a prayer life that you wouldn't believe. And you start January the 1st, and by the 15th, you this is Christmas. You know, am I talking to you? You commit to read your Bible through in a year, and February the 3rd, how many days are you behind? Well, I'm behind 4 days, but I'll catch up. March, how many days are you behind? Well, I'm behind 15 days, but I'll catch up. And after a while, you say, I will never catch up. So I drop it. Incidentally, you need to get some, read your brother Craig and look out for him and read your Bible through in a year. Amen. Do y'all want me to continue? That was not unanimous. There be those who will try, listen to me, I'm talking about following through. There will be those who will have the nerve to try a Wednesday night service. They will really have the nerve to try it. But after about two, that ain't for me. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know what? They try it for a couple of Wednesday nights, and maybe it was a flat service. Maybe it was, who knows what it was. But it did not meet their expectation. And when it doesn't meet someone's expectation, you're going to quit it. Hello, church. You can see them come in like, hey, everybody, this way, it's me. And they sit there and blow bubbles. Bored and demonstrating the boredom. I don't look their way. I don't want to get distracted. I'm not trying to tell you who I'm talking about either. They demonstrate the boredom by fidgety, by there's no contentment in the, I'm not contemptible to them. I feel sorry for them. They come and they try Monday night prayer meeting. I'll try. I know that's good. I'll try. Two Monday nights beyond that, doubt. I don't see any need in that. I don't like the way they carry it on. No, dude. You just don't like to go pray. I understand. I'm not trying to drum up business for a minute. I'm just trying to tell you these people try things. Like I'm trying to preach. Been trying to for 45 years. Do you believe what I'm telling you? They don't follow through. Oh, Lord, help me. People get stuck in quicksand, so to speak, simply because they had no drive to follow through and expectations were not met, so it was over before it even started. My question to you is, do you follow through? So the people in their text did not follow through. I got 5 pages. So, praise the Lord, somebody. Say, a great flaw among humanity is this lack of following through. And I suppose I'm speaking to people tonight, maybe somebody here, that you, through your life, you've started dozens of projects, only to leave them, just walk away from them, just leave them alone. One of the great flaws among church folk is the lack of following through. Brother, let me see if I can say this. Brother Jethro, I think, let me see, I better weigh this out. I want to sing in the choir. Glory to God. Here's the paper. Here's your ABCs of it. Sign the paper. Give it to me. Because that's a commitment to the choir. Oh, glory to God. Am I safe so far? And boy, Sunday night they're up there, they're bouncing. I'm going to carry this choir over. They never heard a voice like mine. And next Sunday night, they're slow coming in. The third Sunday night, they sit on the pew. Oh, help me not to look. The third Sunday night, they sit on the pew. They don't go to the choir. Well, why aren't you in the choir? You signed the paper. Well, I don't feel too good. Now, if you're here, I'm chewing you out right now. Well, I don't feel too good. No, you're just not following through. You tried it, and it wasn't what you thought it was, and it didn't give you goosebumps. Help me out. There's some people, they have not been to church unless they get goosebumps, bruises. Oh, Lord, help me. Boy, the Holy Ghost was there last night because I got bruised here, I got bruised there, and I got bruised. I'm not joking. I know what I'm talking about. And the amount of bruises equated how strong the Holy Ghost. No, what it was, you got excited. Help me, Lord. See, these things are novelties to us. Amen. And God's project, worthwhile project, but your commitment to them was at best shallow. I want to work with the young people. Well, praise God, that's good. I want to work with the old people. I've never had anybody come say, I want to work with the old people. We old people don't have a prayer. Everybody wants to work with the young people. Old people need some attention. When I get there, I'll tell you. So they quit building, they quit working on the, they should have embarrassed them because it was in a conspicuous place, it was in an obvious place, and it should have brought a reproach to those Jewish people that come back from Babylon, and they saw that, and it was, I remember on the street that Haven's Gardens on, coming into Washington, is that 3rd Street? I think it is. Where the red and white supermarket used to be. On that corner, there was an iron. Somebody bought that property. I know the minister. I did a revival for him. They were worshiping in the Turnage Theater for a while, and I did a meeting for him in the Turnage Theater. And he was showing me the blueprint. He was showing me the plans that they had for that property on 3rd Street, and it was really unbelievable. And they set the beams there and everything. And years went by, and finally, the city took it, they sold it, they dismantled it. But it became a, like, you know, that's where they started and couldn't finish it. Amen? That Jesus said in Matthew, don't try to build a building unless you can sit down and analyze, can I afford it? We've got Church of God congregations, not many of them, but I do know one specific one that has a handful of people, just 8 or 10 people, and they got a $750 a month mortgage payment that those 7 people are expected to pay simply because the pastor felt so strong that we got to get this thing going. And so he goes to the state office and he says, I want to get approved from the state office the building permit, the building that we're going to do. Well, when do you plan on starting it? He said, the concrete's being poured today. Violation. So now, several years down the road, 8 or 10 people are trying to pay a mortgage payment that they can't afford. Follow through. I'm going to get to the good stuff in a minute. The devil, I remember the first fast I went on. I thought I was going to die. And I was coming by Parker's Barbecue in Wilson. I have never smelt Parker's Barbecue before that day in my life, ever. But 301, I smelled that barbecue. I shook all over. Oh, glory to God. I could taste it. I could just, but I said, I got to follow through. Hello? That was not an easy thing because I was lusting after barbecue. I was craving. I was just having a frenzy for some good old barbecue. And if I would have eaten it, it probably would not have been half as good as my mind conjured up. See, that you're throwing your soul away for, that you're throwing your appetite away for, look, the devil is trying to get you to live a life of not finishing things that you start and falling into a, listen to this now, as a result of not finishing what you start, you end up, by and large, in a pit of depression. Hello? Why am I depressed? Because you're dissatisfied. Help me, Lord. You put more on your mind than what you can handle. Be realistic. Amen? There's nothing wrong with having faith, but don't let your faith, don't let your desires outrun your faith. If you can't afford a $60,000 pickup truck, buy your $20,000 one. See, live within your faith. Amen? I remind you that Jesus always followed through on every promise that he made. He said that he would build the church, and he did build the church. He was going to the cross. He did go to the cross. He never changed. He set his face like a flint. He said, I'm not going to be confounded. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm not going to bail out. And how many are glad that he didn't bail out? Oh, my Lord, we need to be appreciative. How many tonight are watching you? And the devil is trying to get you to bail out. Because he's trying to convince you that it's too difficult, it's too frustrating, but you don't know who's watching you. And if you bail out, it could crumble their faith. There's no point, there's no time in quitting. The sun will come up again. Life will get better again. Am I talking to you? Things are going to line out. That mess that you're in right now, it's going to line out. The dilemma that you're dealing with and facing, it's going to change. Nothing stays permanent. Amen. So Jesus went to the cross, according to scholars, on Friday at 3:00 in the afternoon. He bowed his head and said, it's finished. He followed through. He had opportunity to bail out. He's in the garden. He could have stopped then. He's in the wilderness. He could have stopped then. At any point, but when he prayed, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. That's human. Hello? That's us. That's us. He saw what was going to happen. He understood what was going to happen. And he was not relishing it. He was not relishing it. Who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame. He endured. He put up with everything. But he didn't bail out. Somebody wrote a psalm many years ago. He didn't come down. Oh, no, he didn't come down. I'm glad he didn't come down because by him staying there, he brought me up. Oh, glory to God. He finished. They put him in the tomb. It was over with. He finished. He come out of the tomb. It was glory to God. Am I talking to you? You want me to go on? I challenge you to break. If you're here and you got that ritual, that routine of starting and not finishing through, used to in Washington, you could not help but appreciate the man unless, really and honestly, Brother Owens from the 15th Street Church, He'd get on that phone and dial every number in the Washington City directory and witness to them. I would dare say that there's nobody that else has ever done that. And he could have quit. He could have said, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not accomplishing anything. But he followed through. And somewhere in the channels of heaven tonight, Brother Owens is on the streets of gold. And it's on his record that for several, I don't know how many years, but it was not just 1 year. For several years, he called every number in the city directory. He followed through. Hallelujah. If you're going to go to war, Jesus said, don't jump in there in a fever. You weigh it out. Can I, with this number of people, handle my enemy? Hello? Every success story in the Bible, every success story in the Bible is woven around someone who followed through. They could have quit. Logic said quit. I mean, there's Joseph. He dreamed. You know the story. He could have said, it's not worth it. I can go to heaven without. Now, that's the crux of it right there. When we start thinking, okay, if I don't do this mission, if I don't accomplish this calling in my life, I'll just go to heaven and it'll be, I won't get the full reward. And Joseph could have analyzed that way. He could have said, well, okay, you know, I don't have to do this. I can be with God. I can be at peace with God without doing this. But he knew his commission was what it was, and he followed through. Amen. Noah. We have time to even go there. We don't have one iota of the emotions of Noah. We don't know. There's nothing that says he got weary. And I'm sure he did. There's nothing that says he questioned in his mind, what is this all about? There's nothing. We don't have any insight with Noah. But we do know one thing. He followed through. He looked at that. I don't know. It baffles my mind that he stuck with it and he built that boat. Amen. So Moses and followed through. He goes through the wilderness. He goes to the burning bush. He goes to Pharaoh's confront. He follows through. And if these people had not followed through, you and I would have no hope tonight. But because they followed through and fulfilled their calling. And that's all I'm asking tonight. That's all I'm talking about tonight. Your calling is to walk holy. Your calling is to walk righteous. Your calling is to be in the house of God. Your calling is to worship God above all other. We're not sports addicts. We're not whatever. We are God's people. We're fanatics for God. Amen? Do you understand it? Every success. In the Bible is woven around somebody that stuck with it. Amen. Hallelujah. David stuck with it. Joseph, the story of failure in the Bible, every story of failure is woven around someone who failed to follow through. I mean, look, what's the guy's name with the birthright? Mr. Esau? He could have survived without eating that bowl of beans. He could have survived, but he's a fleshly man. And when you read his story, you know, you think negative things. Am I talking to you? Gehazi, okay, look at this now. Look at this. He was being groomed. Literally to take Elisha's place. And he knew it. But he had priorities so different than Elisha. And when this person come and leaves, whether Naaman leaves, and Gehazi runs after him and says, whoa, whoa, you know, I need some of this gold and I need some of the garments. And he failed. And Elisha said, the leprosy that was on Naaman is on you, and it will never depart from your household. I'm talking about following through. I'm talking about, you may not, oh, I feel this thing now. You may not see the end. You may not analyze the end. You may not understand the end. But your job is to pick them up and put them down. Your job is to follow through. Your job is not to analyze. Your job is not to question. Your job is not to wonder how the end's going to be. Just live today. Am I right? Just don't borrow tomorrow's trouble for today. Take care of today's business. Handle today's business. And let God take care of the rest of it. Amen? Hallelujah. The disciples were at the very point of walking back to their old life. I'll go fishing, they said. And, you know, they were disappointed. They were confused. And Jesus showed up. That's all that some of us need when we're thinking about, well, it's difficult, it's challenging, I'm being tempted, I'm being tested, and I'm weary. Am I talking to you? Because I'm speaking to people's mind more so than we want to. I'm just weary and I'm tired and I'm the rat race is too much for me. I'm just going to quit. And Jesus, you go to church that night. And Jesus says, I know what I need to do. I need to put my spotlight on John Doe because John Doe is going through some things and he's about not to follow through. Let me shoot some adrenaline in him. And the anointing comes and the choir sings and the special singing and the music sings. And all at once, John Doe is shrouded in with a cloud of glory. And you ask him, John Doe, do you feel like quitting? What are you talking about? I've told you this story so many times. P.A. Howard was pastoring the Middlesex Church. And he had a good member, and it was discouraged, really discouraged him. Monday morning, Brother Howard was at the church doing some work, and a tap came on the door, and this one member that was discouraged and his friend said, can we talk to you? Yes, you can talk to me. And they got right to the point. They said, we want to take our name off the church roll. Well, why do you want to do that? Because we're going to go get drunk. And Brother Howard said, oh, is that right? Yep, but we don't want to be a reproach to the church. And incidentally, Facebook is no place to put bad words and language about for the Allegheny Church of God. You can just chew on that. It got graveyard quiet in here. I mean, it's just brutal, amazing. And so let's get back to our story. Brother Howard said, well, do me one favor. If you want to go get drunk, let's go in the altar. I want to pray with you one time. But yeah, we'll do that. So they went in the altar, and Brother Howard got between them, put his arm around their neck, and he said he was peeping at them when he was praying. Lord, and he called their name. They've been some of my best members. They've been friends of mine. I remember when I didn't have any groceries and they bought groceries by. He squeezed all the juice out of that lemon. He looked, tears running down their eyes. He said, amen. I ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. And he stood up. Well, guys, go on and get drunk. They said, what are you talking about getting drunk? We're not going to get drunk. So they had a visitation from God. Amen. Am I talking to you? The disciples, but Jesus showed up. The Jews, I'm closing, I'm trying to go. The Jews returned home to Jerusalem. They had started work on the temple as God has instructed, and they discarded the work, their efforts, and it was an embarrassment, it was a reproach. And God stepped in and raised up some voices. And that's all that needs to have. We don't need supernatural swinging from the stars. We need a voice that will motivate us. We need a voice that will inspire us. Amen. Am I right? You can do so much when you're inspired. Hello? We can be inspired by others, but we can only be anointed by God. But let me tell you something right now. Inspiration is important. I mean, preachers stand up and fight for their life And all at once, somebody starts feeding back and preach it, brother. God bless you. And all, you know what happens? It's not the anointing. It's inspiration. And that's biblical. Get inspired. Holy men of God were inspired. And sometimes we just need a dose of inspiration. We need some inspirers on the pew. Is that the right word? We need some people on the pew that were so many words, they seek them, preacher. Get them. Amen. And all at once you feed, you put out, but you feel it coming back in strength and power. The structure is being rebuilt. The foundation has been laid. The building has been under attack, but that service, that's what I'm trying to say. It don't take 39 days. Sometimes one service under one song, under one anointing, can bring life to a church. Amen. Hallelujah. God challenged the return back, and the entire book is a statement on why they were in the shape they were in, and that reason is that God's house had been ignored. God's house had been ignored. He said, look, now help me out, church. He talked about you earn money and put it in bags. Amen? I blow upon it. People that don't support the church with their finances and expect the church to support them, something's wrong with that equation. I'm being very honest about it. I'm not trying to be, but tithing is important. You become blessed. And there's two things that a preacher has to look out for. In the mind of the people, in the mind of the congregation, let me see if I can say this. In the mind of the congregation, the preacher better not talk too much about money. Because that's all they're interested in over there, money. Number two, the preacher better not talk about their children. If you stay away from money and children, you can do pretty good. But it's my job and my responsibility, and I'm not doing you right if I omit talking about money. The Word of God talks about money. The Word of God says, sow and you shall reap. Give and it shall be given. Honor the Lord with the first fruits. Hello? And when we preachers become intimidated, if I preach on tithing, it's going to make somebody mad. And yes, it's going to make them mad. Just like if I take a rock and throw it in a pack of dogs, who knows what dog's going to bark? The one that's hit. Tithing, I'm coming out. Tithing is not tipping. Can I get a witness? Tithing is not tipping. If you have questions about tithing, come see me. I'll show. I'm not good on math, but I do know how to get 10% out. Just draw one notch over and put the period. Am I right? That's so simple. You don't even have to add and subtract. Just move the decimal over one point. And you got your tithe. And don't do it begrudgingly. Do it cheerfully. Do it faithfully. The first thing that's, ever since I've been saying, I'm not going to tell you the story about all going home and not wanting to tithe. I do need to tell you that, though. Got warehouse, you get paid on Thursday. I got my check. I was a sinner. I meet a big-time sinner. And I was already figuring out, I go to church on Thursday night and got saved, and I come home, I'm a Christian. Sit down at the couch on the coffee table there, spread the money out. And Darlene said something about tithing. I said, we can start next week. I said, I was a sinner when I earned this money. I was not joking. I was dead serious. I was not trying to cheat God, but I just want the books to be square and right. I said, now next week I will pay tithes because the money I earn, I'll be earning as a Christian. Oh, greed had a hold of me. And all at once, maybe she said something, I don't know. All at once I realized I better turn those hands loose. And from that day to this day, I've never had a trouble pay. Now, I've been through some tough times, and I'm not going to bore you with that, but I've never had a problem paying tithes, ever, never. I've paid tithes when I couldn't buy groceries. I'll get you Kleenex out there in a minute. I paid tithes when I paid them on a credit card. Now, in 30, 40 years ago, people would pay, they'd write a check to the, now, I don't subscribe to this because you get in jail. Pastor, I wrote a check, and I don't have no money in the bank. But I wrote the check on faith, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, help me. They were serious. I mean, they paid tithes on, and I said, Lord, I don't know, somehow or other, Lord, helped us through all. Give faithfully to God. Am I talking right? So these people neglected the temple. Let me just say one or two things here. Do y'all believe that you come to church profitable tonight? Oh, no, that was a mighty puny year. Look, he said, you go to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look at, you've neglected this, the foundation's there, it's scrubby, it's bad, it's an eyesore, and you look for much, and Lord, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Anybody ever been there when you got more month than you do money? I mean, it's, give and it, somebody, I want to hear shall. Shall, not might, it shall. And we're here at Christmas. Don't take your tithe and go window shopping. Don't take your tithe. Show God that you believe he is, oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. I can hear some squirming. I can hear some. I went to a tent meeting. I was a visitor. I wouldn't have nothing to do with service. And the minister took a long time receiving the offering. I mean, a long time. But then he called a fellow minister up to pray over the offering, and I got so blessed. He really prayed. And one part of his prayer really hit me. Lord, I rebuke every stingy spirit in this building. It must have worked because they got the offering they were after. See, God said, I blew on it. There's some people, now I want to be honest, I want to be straight out with you. There's some people just, they do not know how to manage money. They just don't know. They need instruction. They need compassion. They need somebody that's, you know, how did I get here? He said, you look for much, I did blow upon it. I called for a drought. God's going to get here. Stand up with me. I know quitting time when I see it.